fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to continue to talk about our theme this week, which is really about Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but not only about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but the desire and the thirst that God wants to create in each one of us to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. All who have been baptized have received this gift of the Spirit. The Spirit's present in us, and He dwells within us as in a tabernacle. God's desire is to dwell among men. If you were here, tuned in yesterday to the program, I was reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 21. It's Jesus really speaking there, saying, "It's finished. I'm the first and the last. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. The new creation has begun. God's plan is a new heaven and a new earth." That's where human history is headed, friends, is the final culmination of the amazing work of Jesus, through whom all things were made. In this fallen world where hostility, where the enemy has incited a rebellion against God, and the human race is trapped in sin, all of what is fallen will be judged. Jesus has come to free us from that condition of judgment and alienation from God and to bring us into something new. And that something new is what belongs to Him. Existence and absolute freedom forever in glory in the presence of the Father. That's what every child of God is destined to live in and to experience. A glory, a majesty, a beauty, a love, a joy beyond our wildest imagining. It's true because Jesus Christ is risen and He's at the right hand of the Father. And what He's experiencing, what He now possesses, what belongs to Him, He shares with us. That's the beginning of the new life. That's what Jesus said, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom of God. Unless you're born again, literally, as John would say, He gave us power to become children of God. How do I become a child of God? Well, simply through repentance, turning away from rebellion in my own heart, acknowledging it, turning away from it, and turning toward Jesus, repenting, inviting Jesus to come and to be the Lord of our lives, to enter the waters of baptism, to allow the sacrament to begin that new creation, so we can be plunged into the death of Jesus. You know, the beautiful teaching of the church that is so clear right from Romans chapter 5 and 6, where Paul teaches us about what baptism is really about, that the old man, that dimension of our lives, friends, we are literally, the old man in us is the flesh, is our condition, our state of being separated from God. It's death-directed. Apart from God, we're going to die not only naturally, the biological life, but apart from God, we will be in eternal separation from God, which is called hell. Living, as St. Paul says, without hope in the world. But what God does in baptism, God's action in baptism, is He unites us to the crucifixion, the death and resurrection, and really the ascension of Jesus Christ into glory. Jesus has to kill, destroy, put to death the old man in us and cleanses us from the stain and power of sin. And He gives us then a share of His life. And we come out of the waters of baptism, children of God. He gave us power to become children of God. And children of God share in what belongs to Jesus. We inherit Jesus's inheritance, which is life with the Father in glory forever. He gave us power to become children of God. How does that happen? By the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit at work in each and every one of us. We've been talking this week about hungering and thirsting for that. And friends, the church is healthy when she's living radically in the power of the Holy Spirit, surrendered to Him through the help of the sacraments, through particularly the Eucharist, regular confession. These are sources, incredible sources of life in the Spirit. Jesus gave us these realities so that we can be fed and strengthened in the Spirit. The Word of God is a source of new life for us in the Holy Spirit. So renewal and transformation in the church, revival in the church, is always about human beings turning away from sin and turning and thirsting for God and opening their hearts to the Holy Spirit, who then is a source of transformation and new life. It's the Spirit who brings us from death to life. It's the Spirit who awakens us spiritually, because it's the Spirit who reveals to us the glory and majesty of Jesus. I love to read, I do it every year, I read a series of talks that Pope John Paul II gave to the church, particularly to lay people. Back in 1998, which was a jubilee year in the Holy Spirit, a year of the Holy Spirit preparing for the jubilee year 2000. And what we're given in this talk the Holy Father gave to some 400,000 Catholics who'd gathered in Rome, representatives of the many lay movements in the church, like, for example, the neocatechumenate, or a focolare movement, or the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, just all kinds of movements, maybe 70, 80 different movements. Most of those movements were all founded by a particular person who had a call and a charism, that is a gift to the apostolate, to a particular mission. And through the grace God has given this person or persons, people are drawn to follow them into the mission that God has called them to. Now, that's the typical kind of lay movement. There's another interesting reality, though. The Catholic Charismatic Renewal is totally different than that. It's without a founder. Where movements have thousands of members, maybe as many as 100,000, that would be a huge movement in the church. There might be some larger than that. But the Catholic Charismatic Renewal has touched literally 200 million people. Doesn't have a founder, doesn't have a leader. That's why various priests like Father Francis Martin and others have said that in some ways, the grace of the outpouring of the Spirit, which is at the core of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, really a movement exists fundamentally to witness to the reality of what Jesus promised in the Gospels, but also on the day of his ascension in Acts chapter 1. He says, John baptized you with water, but I will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. I spoke about that last week. If you didn't have a chance to hear last week's programs, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. They're all archived there. You can listen to them or download them and put them on your iPod. Jesus has come to baptize human beings in the Holy Spirit. That's a crucial, crucial piece of what salvation is all about. And the Catholic Charismatic Renewal witnesses to the reality of what is the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the full awakening of the gifts of baptism and confirmation, the empowerment of the Spirit that leads us to both see Jesus Christ as Lord, but to passionately pursue him and to live with a profound hunger and desire to radically be engaged in Jesus' mission of evangelization. So in 1998, the Holy Father gathered the movements because he wanted to celebrate Pentecost with them, because they were all signs for the church of a living new Pentecost. And he also saw them as an antidote for the crisis that we're facing in the world today, as the world gets more secularized and alienated from God by their own choice. And so many in the church get evangelized by the culture and drawn out from a radical abandonment and living in the Spirit in Christ. Jesus pours out his Spirit and makes new things come to be that are called to witness in every generation to the reality and majesty of Jesus and call people into the church. So I just want to touch on some of what he said that day in the speech. And it begins with, he said, with these words, the Acts of the Apostles bring us into the heart of the Pentecost event. They show us the disciples who gathered with Mary in the upper room received the gift of the Spirit. Thus, Jesus' promise is fulfilled and the time of the church begins. From that time, the wind of the Spirit would carry Christ's disciples to the very ends of the earth. It would take them even to martyrdom for their fearless witness to the gospel. And that same wind is blowing today. The same Holy Spirit is present. Wherever you see the church alive, wherever you see the church moving, wherever you see the church evangelizing the culture, that's the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Father then goes on and he starts to reflect and teach the people who are gathered there who they are and why they exist and where they've come from. And he says, the Holy Spirit, already at work in the creation of the world and in the Old Covenant, reveals himself in the Incarnation and the Paschal Mystery of the Son of God. And in a way, bursts out at Pentecost to extend the mission of Christ the Lord in time and space. Pentecost and New Pentecost is the Spirit breaking out and being poured on human flesh in a fresh and a new way to extend the mission of Christ in space and time. And so the church is like a stream of new life that flows through human history, he says, on behalf of mankind. He then goes on to say, at the Second Vatican Council, the Comforter recently gave the church, which according to the fathers is a place where, quote, the Spirit flourishes. The Holy Spirit gave the council a renewed Pentecost, instilling a new and unforeseen dynamism in the church. So he's talking about the 2,500 or so bishops from around the world that were gathered over that three-year period, roughly, in Rome for the Great Council in the mid-60s. And he's looking back now as having been a participant in that. And he said, what we experienced was a renewed Pentecost. And then he explains. He says, whenever the Spirit intervenes, he leaves people astonished. He brings about events of amazing newness. He radically changes persons and history. But that is so true. That is so true. That's the mission of the Spirit, to make all things new and to radically change people, to radically change us. When human beings are radically changed, history changes. He goes on. This was the unforgettable experience of the Second Vatican Ecumenical Council, during which, under the guidance of the same Spirit, the Church rediscovered the charismatic dimension as one of her constitutive elements. It's a mouthful. I've shared this over the years, off and on here on the program. What he's saying is the charismatic reality, that is, a full life in the Spirit, surrender to the Spirit, baptism in the Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit functioning and present in the lives of members of the church. He said that reality of living in the Spirit is coessential with the institutional dimension of the church, what constitutes the mission of the church, the institution, the priesthood, sacraments, this kind of reality, right? The Pope, the magisterium, these are dimensions of the institution of the church given to us by Christ. But it's that reality, that visible, continuing reality of the celebration of sacraments, which is essential to the life of the church, but so is the charismatic dimension essential. That is, each person living alive in the Holy Spirit. And then he quotes the council, saying, it is not only through the sacraments and the ministrations of the church that the Holy Spirit makes holy the people and leads them and enriches them with his virtues. Allotting his gifts according as he wills, he also distributes special graces among the faithful of every rank. He makes them fit and ready to undertake various tasks and offices for the renewal and the building up of the church. So taking that quote from Lumen Gentium, a document of the Vatican Council, the Holy Father is now going to help the lay movements, the laity, to understand that not only through the sacraments is the church built up in her holiness, but she's also given, and this is absolutely essential, and she cannot accomplish her mission without it, spiritual gifts that come from the risen Christ. The power of the Holy Spirit is poured out on every single person. He says the faithful of every rank. So many lay people feel like it's all about the priests and they're the special ones set apart. They're the holy ones and I'm kind of slogging along, schlepping along, and I don't know what my role is. I don't know who I am, and have not really yet come into the grace and power of the Holy Spirit that is yours by virtue of your baptism and your confirmation. You are meant to be lit up by the Holy Spirit. You are meant to be anointed and to live in the power of the Spirit so that you can be a part of the renewal of the church, as it says right here, and that you have a role, no matter what walk of life you're in, to help build up the church in her mission in this time in history. As the Spirit moves through this time, we open our hearts to it, and we're lifted by the Spirit into that mission. Friends, that's for you. That's for me. Let's embrace it. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Use Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.